I am just really, really looking forward to tonight's service. Brother John Gherardini, our missionary here, and his dear wife serving and church rescue work right here in our own country. And I am just really anticipating the Lord to work in our hearts tonight and the great need even in our own country. Folks, you know, I served in the 1040 window and I understand the great need, which it does exist. I served in northern Niger among, 99% Muslim area, and I realized the great need there. But boy, I tell you what, there is a need, but that never takes away the great need in our own country. The great need to continue having strong, Bible-believing churches that can stand strong on the Word of God and continue sending missionaries. I thought about this. The Lord laid this verse on my heart just a moment ago, and I believe there's application where it says in Psalm 11:3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And I believe there's an application there for us that, listen, the foundation of America was built on the Church of Jesus Christ. And that's our foundation, and that's why we've been able to send missionaries out of our country, and that's why we've been able to impact the world. Listen, I believe God has blessed America specifically. His reasoning for that is because, for the most part, until recent days, America has honored Him and glorified Him. And God has blessed that and enabled us to send out missionaries. Over the past centuries, we've been able to send out many missionaries all over the world. And I pray that God will continue doing it. I pray that God will continue doing that. And it has burdened my heart. You know, Brother Gherardini, I was at the BIMI headquarters. And do you know Brother Larson, Bob Larson? I'm not sure. He's over the U.S. church planning there. And I was in his office. And when I was going through this transition phase where God had called us back from Niger, I was really just praying. It was even before I began talking with the pulpit committee here at Crooked Creek. I was just trying to seek out the Lord's will and what He would have. And so I went and talked to the guy who was over the U.S. church planting ministries and church rescue work, and was just listening to the things that he was telling me about the churches all across America who are on the very verge of shutting their doors, and many of them doing that. And he said, I said, so what is the greatest need? And I couldn't believe what my ears were telling me. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I couldn't believe what he said to me. He said, Brother Jennings, I want to tell you where one of the greatest needs in America will be over the next 10 years and over the next 20 years. And I would have never guessed it, thinking, listen, Washington, the Northeast, the Northwest, which those are all great needs. But he said, the Southeast. I couldn't believe it. He said, Brother Jennings, you would not believe the calls that we get here in our office every single week. People, groups of five and groups of ten in these churches all across the Southeast and Georgia and South Carolina and Virginia who are on the verge of shutting their doors. Their buildings are paid off. But their attendance is people that are 60 years old and above, and they're dying. And he said, there's going to be a great need of church rescue work across America, especially the Southeast. I couldn't believe it. I'm so thankful God has allowed us to support a missionary who God has called to do that very thing, to go and to be involved in church rescue work, going into churches and helping them build back up, get them out there, knocking on doors, preaching, teaching, discipling, winning people to Christ. And folks, I'm glad we can be a part of that, aren't you? And I'm hoping God would maybe even call some folks out of this church that will answer the call to maybe go help do some church rescuing work. Hey, listen, it's not going to hurt my feelings. It will encourage me if God would call some families out to do that very thing. I'm praying He will do that in the years to come and maybe even this conference. But Brother John, I'm thankful you're here, brother. We've been supporting this dear family since 1994, if I read the records correctly. Brother John and his dear family are missionaries there in Jamaica and St. Lucia. God called them back here and now doing church rescue work. I'm going to ask him to come now and just give us an update and then preach to our hearts. Brother, thank you so much for coming tonight.
Appreciate that.
Appreciate you, brother. God bless you.
Amen. Good to see each of you. Amen. Good to see some familiar faces. Amen. Glad that you remember my face and said hello to me. Amen. Getting a little bit older. Amen. Trying to remember these things. So, but praise the Lord. Good to see you all. Brother Anderson, good to see you. Appreciate your testimony.
Amen.
Brother Jennings, God bless you, brother. Looking forward. He's a young man of, what, 36? Just a young man. God called me to preach when I was 28 years old and set out to do that what he asked me to do. But just quickly, I got saved at the age of 19 out of Roman Catholicism. And I'll share something with you. When you are lost in religion and you think you're okay, and then you get the gospel and you find out you're not, you're so thankful that the missionary came your way. I was raised in Peru. And so a far, far long way from here, amen? Okay, I need my mic. Thank you, my brother. He is really good with that.
It happens to me every time.
I told him big letters, amen, back there. So he did. When I get preaching, I don't see you, amen? So if you're misbehaving, your pastor's going to have to take care of you. There you go. Praise the Lord. But yeah, Peru's a long ways away, isn't it? And you know we're sending missionaries there, right? It's not Peru, South America. It's Peru, Illinois. There you go. Yes, I are a Yankee. Amen. Yeah, don't shoot me now. You haven't shot me in all these years, so don't do it now. Just to share with you, though, if you, young people, you've been raised in a Christian home, you need to praise God.
Amen.
You need to bless God.
Amen.
You need to be thankful. I know that it's easy to get apathetic about it, to not care about it, or it's just a way of life. It's not.
Sure.
It is life.
Amen.
For without Christ, there is no life.
Amen.
So young people, I hope you'll tune your ears in. I know that sometimes, man, it's Monday night and I'm in church. Huh? But be glad that you have a church to go to. You could be in countries like Niger, where you're going to be a Muslim. And you know the Muslims are not afraid of Allah? You know who the Muslims are afraid of? Their brother. Because if they don't do what they're supposed to do, they will be beheaded. They'll be killed. They don't just behead Christians, y'all. They kill others of their own people. So please listen. Please get your ears where they belong to be. And from your ear gate to your heart gate, if you would, and have that. We are blessed to be missionaries for 27 years, and I, like Brother Anderson, have forgot the most important thing to do besides praise my God, and that is to introduce my wife. Brothers, it's not just selling. God put something on my heart, and I needed to say it, and you forget where you're going.
Sure.
But let me let my dear wife stand up. This is my wife, Miss Sharon. She's been my wonderful bride for 33 years, and I'm so thankful that she still loves me. Hallelujah. She married a wannabe millionaire, and God called him to preach. Amen. All right? And she stuck with me. She's a good woman, isn't she? You already all know that, don't you? So praise the Lord. And so God has allowed us now. We served in the foreign field for 16 years in Jamaica and St. Lucia. As you know, you supported us through all that. Our dear brother reminded us that last time was probably when we ate dinner when we were in Jamaica. Amen. So it's been a while when we were home. So it's been a little while since we've been with some of the folks, but we're glad to see you. But in 2012, the Lord stirred our nest. And, you know, it's interesting. When God's moving you, you better respond. Right, Brother Anderson? You better respond, because you don't know what God's doing, but God knows what He's doing.
That's right.
And God doesn't always let you know what He's doing. You just need to be obedient. And what Brother Anderson showed us, he's obedient. You say, it was put off a little bit. Yeah, that's right, but he's still obedient. Amen? And so be obedient, young people. God's speaking to you. So God started to move us in the islands. They could not understand it. New work was just being started, working with Brother Townsend. And the good Lord just started showing us that our ministry was done in St. Lucia. And so I called my dear pastor and asked Brother Don to pray for us and told him, I don't know what God's doing. I don't know why He's doing what He's doing. But you need to pray for us. You know what my pastor asked me? He said, John, are you in the boat? Who was in the boat when they were in the middle of the sea? Jesus was in the boat. You know, Peter got out to walk, but that was after he was asked to. But that's not the time that they were in the boat with Jesus, when he was asleep in the ship in the hinder part of the boat. And you feel like your boat's going down? Remember, Jesus is in the boat. And I said, yes, brother, I know what you mean. I'm in the boat. He said, good. God will lead you and show you. And so God did. He showed us that we were to come home. And so we did that. I felt this is what the Lord would have us to do as church rescue. We got home in May of 2012. And in June of 2012, Brother Townsend informed us that the island of St. Lucia revoked all of our visas and was sending us all home. You know how good God is to us? God told us, and listen, y'all, it wasn't an audible voice. It was just that still voice that the Lord nudges you with. We don't believe in signs and wonders. Those were of old. Today He's got His Word and He's got His Spirit. And through His Spirit, He moved our spirit to do what we did. And we got home and we looked at each other and we heard that and said, glory to God. We were going to get sent home by the government. And you say, Brother John, what did you do wrong? We still don't know what happened. We still don't know what happened, but God happened. And so He brought us home to America. And so He put us into church rescue. And brother, as you were sharing with what you heard, we did a little bit of furlough. We come to see you all. We visited many churches that we could for about the first year and was actively trying to find a church. They're everywhere. We had six churches in contact with us that needed a pastor. And out of the blue, how the Lord works, I got a call from Fellowship Baptist Church in Cumming, Georgia, which we knew well. We were a part of when we got to be in the service, so we got to be a part of their first services when that church was planted up there in Cumming in 1992. And we were just starting our deputation. And you know, it's nice to get in a new church, brother. Amen? Brother Anderson, it's nice to get in a new church. Amen? And so they called me and said, would you come and preach for us? We need a pastor to preach for us for a while. Are you available? I said, yes, I am. Another gentleman informed him what we were doing. And so that very Sunday, I said, Pastor, would you consider taking this work? And so we said we'd pray about it. And they said, we want to vote on you tonight. Now, church, you know, that's not advisable, is it? It's not. And any pastor that's worth his salt would tell him it's not advisable. Any man of God would say that's not advisable. You don't call a man of God because of the message he preaches. You call a man of God because God led you to have him to be a part of that church, and he knows it too. And so you say, oh, Brother John, you're so spiritual. No, God's just good. Amen? He helps this old boy along all the way. Even Yankee boys, he'd help y'all. And so I asked them if they had their constitution, which they brought forth. Said, I need you to read what the requirements are for the call of a pastor. Now remember, church, when you go to a church that's in desperate need like that, they're willing to take anybody that would love them. They don't need anybody that'll love them. They need God's man. And a man that has a wife that'll help them. And so we read it. We knew what it was. They said, would you come back until we can go through this? I said, if you'll pray, I'll pray. And so with the correct time, I was called to be their pastor. Now, a church rescue pastor is not interim. And of course, we shared that with them. I don't go in there and just fill the pulpit. I'm there to be pastor. And our goal is to, one, help the body. Because you that are members of a Crooked Creek Baptist Church are a body. You are the body of Christ at this local church. And the body needed a lot of help. And after the body was getting mended and you could tell that they were doing well, then we started to work on the ministry. And because the church in that situation, they start leaving everything off. They no longer had deacons. They no longer had a missions program. They did not have but one Sunday school class. They had some debt, but God is able to take care of that, amen? When God's people know that God is involved, they will give. You know, Pastor, one thing you want to make sure is if God has their heart, God has all of them. And we as pastors, if we're transparent with everything that goes on, and they see that we are of God, God's people will do what needs to be done. And so after that, our goal was to get those ministries back up. And the first ministry I wanted back was missions. And so we contacted the missionaries that were on the record that we could find. and shared with them. We started in April, and in June, we supported them all for $45 that month. We took what came in and sent it to them and said, we are reinstating you. You are our missionaries, and we're going to keep the promises that were made to you. And so in June, because of God's people trusting what God's man was going to do, we supported them for their $50 a month, and they've been ever since. And so God has been good. Now, no choir, and so God has sent us a choir leader, and so we got a choir leader now. We got a choir started about April this year, correct? And we started a choir, and can you believe it? I sing in it. So, yeah, this choir director said he can teach anybody to sing. I said, really? Can you teach pigs to fly too? So we'll see. But so we're singing in the choir. We want to be a part of that. We just finished our missions conference at our church. We've had it from July 31st to August 3rd. We don't believe in just a Sunday missions conference. We believe in a conference like we knew. And listen to this. Our church works. They all get involved. And that is so important. Young people, you need to be involved. Amen. Young people encourage old people like you cannot believe. I ain't old yet, but getting there. Amen? But you encourage us. And so we had three missionaries in the conference. We were able to receive all three of them. And my goal was, I said, next year's missions conference, I'd like to raise the missionary support. We'll have missionaries we support in. But the support went from $763 to $1,183. So we were able to receive all three missionaries as a part of our missionary outreach. And the church voted to add to one missionary double support because of his need. And then they voted to raise everybody a 10% increase. So everybody got a 10% cost of living increase. You know who that is? That's God. Amen. That's the working of our Lord. And so we thank the Lord for what He has done and what He is doing. Church was about a little over 20 when we received it and were called. And over 3 years now, we're at 60. Yes, Pastor, I wish we'd be much further along than that. That was our desire. But one of the things the pastor asked me is to ask you to pray for our church and for us. And these are some of the prayer requests, if you would. We're praying for a commitment in our young couples. We have four young couples that are visiting our church right now. Our church, half of our congregation is 16 and under. Yes, we have great potential. God is really blessing. And generally, you know, with an old man like myself as pastor, you don't see that. You need a young man like this to have that kind of age group. But you know, God's not a respecter of persons. He's not. And so God has blessed us with young families. But we have four families that have been visiting, one family for over a year. They have seven children. And he's told me quite a few times he's going to join, but he's not. There's a commitment problem. Young people, you need to get committed. Amen. Parents, you need to be committed. Amen. So we have a commitment problem. We look at that. Brother, we'd be 75, 80 folks. If we could find their commitment, amen? Now, you understand that. You recognize the lack of commitment in the people of America. Isn't that sad? You know why there's a lack of commitment? Because they have a lack of commitment to God. And that's the problem. The other thing is, we'd ask that you'd pray for us. We're going to be having a parenting class. My wife and I are blessed to have six children, as the vast majority of you know. And there is a biblical way to raise our children. The Bible is the only way to raise your children. Use it. It works. It really does. And our children, we are so thankful. We did this. And parents ask us, and please, I'm not trying to toot a horn or say that I'm something special. We have parents constantly asking us to write a book on parenting. And I'm not a writer. But they ask us, what was the most number one thing you did to get your children to be the way they are? And I said, sacrifice. Are you saved today? You're saved because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He's the ultimate sacrifice. And so parents, you have to sacrifice. Then you have to obey the Lord and use the Bible as your guide to raise our kids. So pray for that. November, we're going to have a week long, and we're hoping that these young couples will be a part of that. We have other families, thank God, as you hear how many children we have. We have other families that have children that are committed, that are a part of the church, and they've asked us also to do this. So our desire is for a month long of Sunday school classes to the adult parents, and then Sunday morning preaching on parenting. So pray for us. We're doing a visitation blitz in October also, and so we want to invite other people to come in and to be a part of that. And we've learned this. Let me ask this question, and I want you to be sincere. And I don't want you to look around. I don't want you to look at your peers. I want a show of right hands. If you're 100%, you're born again, and when you pass from this earth, you're going to go to heaven. Would you show me your hands? 100% sure. Okay, so me looking means nothing. God looking is everything. Amen? And He already knew. So every one of you that raised your hands, you're saved by the grace of God, and you're God's child. And I recognize I'm speaking to God's children tonight. And so I'm praying for God's help. You mess with my kids, you got problems. Don't mess with God's children. But children of God that are looking out there, I want you to look. Please remember, this is God's child. And if you mess with God's child, you'll stand in trouble too. And so when God gave me that revelation, He's changed me. He changed how I preach. He changed how I treat God's children. Because I'm with God's children. But I've asked my church to remember, the man behind the pulpit is also God's child. And there's a mutual relationship through the blood of Christ. Amen. And we need each other.
Amen.
And so it's very important. So you young people that raised your hand, you're God's child. And your pastor loves you. I'm going to share something with you. God's changed my thoughts about my message tonight. I'm watching children. And when I watch, I see there's a great need in this country for our children. I was saved in 1980. And when I got saved, you know what I wanted to do? I wanted to be in church. I wanted every service. I wanted the messages. I wanted the Word of God. Do you have that hunger in you? I couldn't get baptized because I was Catholic, and my parents told me if I were to be baptized, they would throw me out of the house. You know what my pastor said? A wise man of God. He said, John, you're the only light in the house. Stay in the house. Obey your parents. How many of you 19-year-olds want to obey your parents? I didn't see any hands. Yes, I was the same way. But now I was saved. And so thank God for my pastor, because my mom and dad are saved today. My grandma and grandpa got saved.
Amen, brother.
My brothers and sisters are saved, except for Jim. His brother Christian asked again, thank you, Christian, for praying for my brother. How many years? 20 years probably you've been praying for my brother. I've been praying for 36 years now. But that's what God did. Young people, your pastor loves you. You need to love your pastor. You need to love him because he loves you. And I'm going to share this with you. The wounds of a brother are better than secret love. Amen? The wounds of a brother. There are two verses in chapter 27 of Proverbs. You can look at that later, okay? The one starts with the wounds, the secret love, and the next one goes to the wounds of a brother. And it's faithful. The wounds, yes, because the Word of God hurts when we're not right. But the Word of God feeds us and makes us grow like you wouldn't believe when we're right with God. Well, you believe it because you know it, right? Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Hebrews. I still have a message. Amen. Where's the clock, brother? You guys are in trouble. You guys are in trouble. Five till what? Five till seven. Amen. That must be Alabama time. I like it. We're in Alabama now, y'all. Let me share this with you, though, because I are a Yankee. In 1996, I was adopted by the Southern Brethren of my church as a son of the Confederate. Seriously? Serious. And they presented me with a Confederate flag. And if you have an objection to the Confederate flag, I'm sorry for you. You know, the purpose is because I look at the historical facts. Not any racial, and you'll know that because God called us, as our dear brother Deniger, He called us to St. Lucia and Jamaica, which are primary black countries, from African descent and also from Indian descent. But Change history and you're in trouble. Change the history of America and you're in trouble. There's good and bad in our history, is there not? And we know that. And we recognize that. And if you try to cover up the bad, then you're a hypocrite. But if you try to cover up the good, then you're a liberal. He knew that I wasn't politically correct, right? Let me tell you this. I went to Jamaica and St. Lucia and dwelt amongst our brethren, mostly lost until we won them to Christ, in black nations, and never had a problem with race. Not a moment. Not a moment. Why is that? Because they were colorblind. And because we brought the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to them. And when God saves any person, they have the same blood flowing within them from their Father, God the Father, and the blood of Christ cleansed them. Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number 1, if you would. While you're finding your place, would you stand with me as we honor the reading of God's Word? And since it's 5 to 7, we're in good time. I told my dear brother back there in the sound system, if I go too long, you better put up a big hand and show Brother John you got trouble. Amen? Amen. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And our thought, again, is with the finishing of the course. Finishing the course. Amen? Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you and we praise you, Lord, for the good services thus far. Father, I thank you for the music that was sung to honor you and so that we could come to worship you, Father. And Father, we thank you for the good spirit of God's people. Lord, I do realize, Lord, that in this congregation there are folks, your children, Lord, that want to be here and desire, Lord, to finish their course. Lord, that desire worldwide missions would go forth and to want to be a part of it. Lord, I realize that there's some that, Lord, are not really concerned about it. And Lord, there's some that may even be here, Lord, that don't want to be here. Lord, they've been brought basically against their will. God, I pray, Father, that you'd speak to each of our hearts. Lord, that we understand one thing you can do. You can do anything. And God, I pray that you'd break down stony hearts. Lord, hearts that are apathetic. But Lord, for those that are on fire, Lord, help them to burn brighter and brighter until you come. Lord, I pray now, Father, that you'd meet with us. For Father, we need you. We need your sweet presence. And God, I pray that each of us know would recognize your presence. And Father, we thank you for the promise that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, for your promise that where three or more are gathered in thy name, you'd be in our midst. But we invite you, Lord. We desire for you to be with us. And God, I pray that you'd help me, Lord, that you would help the sinner, saved by grace, to be what I'm supposed to be. Lord, as I address your children, in Christ's name I pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. You may be seated. You notice that Hebrews chapter 12 comes after Hebrews chapter 11, and that would be proper, right, in numerology? 11, 12. In Common Core, I'm not sure if that's right, but when I was in school, that's what they taught me. And so I know that's true. And chapter 12 starts with wherefore, which causes us to look back. And chapter 11 is all about the spiritual giants of the Old Testament. And it tells us of their faith. But you know, it tells us something else about these men. Well, let me say something. We know something else about these men and women, though, don't we? We know that they were sinners, saved by grace. You know something else we know? We know their failings. We know their weakness. Have you read the Bible?
Sure.
We know them. We also know their strengths. And matter of fact, their strengths are magnified through their faith in this chapter. Isn't it amazing that Abraham, we don't see that he doubted? God doesn't show that. He doesn't show that Sarah doubted. She, in the tent door, she laughed, and the Holy Spirit knew it. You don't see it there. You know why? Because we get a view, hallelujah, we get a view from heaven of these men and women. You know why we got a view? We get a view of them perfect. Child of God, that's how God sees us through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's why, if you know, people say, Hebrews 11's got problems, it's got contradictions. Listen, if there's a contradiction in the Bible, the problem is with you, not with the Bible. The problem's with me, not with the Bible. And let me be clear about one thing. I do use, in my study, the King James Bible in my preaching. You got to understand something. We had good news for the, let's see, how was it called? Good news for modern man in the Catholic Church? I got the Bible when I got saved, the King James Bible. Hallelujah. Preserved by the Lord to the English-speaking people. Now, in Niger, you spoke another language, right? People always challenge me, well, what about Spanish Bible? What are you talking about? I'm English speaking. That's their problem, amen? I got the King James Bible. You say, really, Brother John? Let me share something. I'm not trying to be controversial at all. People ask me all the time, well, you say you have the Holy Word of God. Label it. So I'm labeling it for you. There's more people speaking English in the world than any other language. And that is not by accident that the Lord, in 1611, had it translated. And I promise you this, I'm going to try to bring this down a little bit, stop the ringing. I promise you this, if you tried to read 1611, you'd have a hard time. So the modernization of the scriptures we have is just taking out those things that we were not able to do or to understand. I love looking at the old 1611. But just wanted to have you understand that from the get-go. I'm going to tell you something. Pastors, Christians, you better take a stand. You better take a stand. In the day that we're living, I share with you, how many in here that are my age or within 30 years old thought that homosexual marriage would ever come to America? Ever thought that was even possible, y'all? Now, let me share this with you. The way we're going in America, we're no longer going to be what we were. We're not. And we're almost there already. And when we go to islands, you go to Niger, you go to places where they have no church, that's what America's going to be like. If something doesn't change, if we don't take a stand, if we don't speak the truth and what we believe and why we believe it, we need to share it. Why are we all mouses? We're not talking about being mean. We don't have to be mean-spirited. We have the Spirit of God with us. And so we bring that forth. God has shared with us in these words here that we have a course to run. Now, let's think about that for a minute. He says, verse 1 again, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Who's that cloud of witnesses? Chapter 11. We're compassed about by their life, by the testimony of God through His Word. We have that witness. We can do that, y'all. Brother Anderson said, you know, isn't it amazing God can use me? Wasn't it amazing God could use Moses? A man that stuttered? Isn't it amazing that God could use Rahab? A harlot? Is it not amazing who God could use? That's the cloud of witnesses that we have. Now, God made a change in their life, yes, amen. But isn't it sad that Rahab's remembered as a harlot? Thomas is remembered as a doubter? How are we going to be remembered? How are we going to be remembered? We have a great cloud of witnesses. Now, let me share something else with you. There's a cloud of witnesses in here. You folks have come to me and said, Brother John, Miss Sharon, you knew our names. You pray for us. You're our witnesses. Young people, there's parents in here. There's your parents, your pastor, other parents in here praying for you. The witnesses, what they've done. And you and I can do the same thing. We can live that way too. Now, let's try to move on to what the Lord has given us. So, He says, let us. You see that? He uses that twice, amen? In the first verse there, let us. That means every one of us. That means that every one of us have a race. And we have our own race to run. Brother Anderson's running a race. He's going to be in the printing ministry at Macedonia. Surprise, surprise, right, brother? Deputation. He's running the race. He's running his course right now. Deputation is a course. I wanted to use this real quick. How many golfers in here? Wow, I like you people. I don't golf either. But you know the designers of golf courses actually designed them with obstacles? With pitfalls? I believe it's probably one of the only sports that are designed that way. If you know one other one, you can tell Brother John later. But it's designed that way to make it difficult. But you know what? To finish your course on 18 holes, you got to get into the 18th hole to finish your course. You got to go through all the obstacles. You know, your race is like that. And you know, when we were in the islands, you learn something. The islands are mountains coming out of the ocean. That's all they are. And so you're always this way, y'all. That's how you're going. And you can't always see the finish line, because the purpose of your race is, one, to glorify your Lord. Two, it's to get to the finish line. Three, and I don't know if this is the exact order because the Lord is first, but it's to win souls, to bear fruit. And you know if you're running your race good is by the fruit that you're bearing. The fruits of the Spirit and souls that you win to Christ. And you know the winning of souls is not your responsibility, it's God's. Your responsibility is to give the message and to live a life before them that they can see that you belong to Christ, that you are a child of God. That's the course. He goes here. So everyone has their own race to run. No one can run your race for you. No one can. You can't run anybody else's race. You find out what God wants you to do and you do it. You get there and you do it. Preacher says that transitional period. Boy, that's a terrible place to be in, transition. Transition is horrible. But you know what? Whether you're on the field in Niger, or you're in transition, or you're the pastor of Crooked Creek, God never left him. Nor did he leave me. He was there. Sometimes you got to look a little harder, but he's there. The race begins the moment you got saved. You know, in Timothy, he talks about being a soldier. Did you realize when you got saved, you became a soldier? You know, we have a lot of wonderful veterans, and I love to greet them. My father's a veteran. Two brothers are veterans. And I love to greet them. But you know what? A missionary, after he comes home to the field, they call us veteran too. And I share this with him. I said, you know, I wasn't enlisted in Uncle Sam's army, but when I got born again, I got enlisted in Jesus Christ's army. And I'm a soldier too. And so are you if you're God's child as you raised your hand. You're His soldier too. You're in the race. It's yours. It began when you got saved. In Philippians 1:6, the Bible says, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's going to perform it for you. Amen? The finish line is at the end of your life. You know, the Lord said there in verse number 1, He said, run with patience. You know why? Because the race is not a sprint, it's a marathon. It's a marathon. And let me share this with you. Every morning you get up, you enter the race again. And every day the race has a course. There's a course to run every day. You know, if you're a golfer, again, let's just... Arnold Palmer died, and I knew him from a kid, you know. Didn't know much about him, but I knew he was one of the greatest golfers there were. Every time he stepped on a different course, his job was still to get to the 18th hole. He knew that the designers of that course put obstacles in his way. You know, God knows there's obstacles in your way, young people, parents, us that are a little bit older, pastors, missionaries. There's obstacles. But let me promise you this. The one that helped you begin the race, that begun the good work in you, and I want you to recognize the word work, the good work in you, because I'm going to tell you this, the life of a Christian is work. It's work. Prayer is work. Anybody just super prayer warrior? I believe there are some. Good. Praise the Lord. It's work, isn't it? Yeah, amen. Thank you. It's work. Hey, going witnessing is work. Reading your Bible is work. Hey, if you're saved and you've not been baptized, why don't you do that first good work? Get in the pool and show what Christ did inward, outwardly. Do it, children of God. Do it. You have a course every day, and that course is yours. You need to do it. Children, let me share this with you. And I use the word children. Maybe you're a young person. Maybe you're a young adult. But children, your responsibility is to obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And when you do that, young people, you're running your course. The race is it lasts a lifetime. And remember this, not everybody finishes the race right. Your pastor already said, let us finish right. Let us finish well. Amen? I do destroy the King's English. Pardon me. Let us finish well. Every day, make sure you finish your course well. And then at the end of your life, you'll hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. There will be a crown at the finish line, and you will be victorious. And let me share this with you. God made you to be victorious. He made you to be more than conquerors. He's made you to overcome the obstacles of this life. God has done that for you. Hey, let's figure out how to do this now. It's to stay focused. You know, in there, as we see that, he tells us in verse 2 to look unto Jesus. Our focus needs to be on Jesus. Our focus needs to be on the ways of Jesus. How are you going to find that? You're going to find that in the Word of God. Listen, how are you going to find that? You're going to find it in church. You're going to find that in Sunday school. You're going to find that in your daily devotion. You're going to find that in your daily reading. You're going to find that in service. Sunday school teachers, when do you learn the most about your Bible? When you're in Sunday school class or when you prepare the class? In service. Let me use a verse for you. And again, I don't have a clock to watch, so I'm nervous. But that's okay, right? Matthew chapter 6, verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. You want to stay in focus. The Lord tells us that our eye needs to be single. How many eyes you got? Two? If you don't, you're a cyclops. Amen? Okay, you have two. Now, some folks are blind. Some folks are blind in one eye. Two of our daughters, our eldest daughter and our youngest daughter, when they were born with, and I'm not even going to try to say the word, but it's a wandering eye. Our daughter's eye did not wander. They had strong eye muscles. And so they literally went blind in one eye without us knowing. But it was caught well enough in time so that it could be fixed. And so what the doctor did was he patched the eye. You've seen children with eye patches, right? He patched the eye. See, what was happening was the brain was getting two different visions as the eye was dying off, and your brain gets confused. And you know who's the author of confusion? Who is he? Satan. Now listen, I'm not saying that their defect was from Satan. I'm just using the illustration, y'all. All right, I want to make that clear. I don't want young people thinking, Pastor saying Satan did something to my child. So the doctor started to work. Well, what the brain did was the brain shut the eye, was going to shut the eye off. And that's what the doctors told us. It's hereditary. My brother had this, the doctor, the one that's not saved, had that when he was a boy. His eye wandered. He went cross-eyed in one eye. You all understand that, right? You make fun of him, you say, hey, cross-eyed, right? You get glasses, you call him four eyes. You all don't do that, but that's okay. Some of us did when we were mean kids. What they did was they put a patch on the girl's eyes, each individual eye. What the goal was to make the lazy eye work. The good eye was patched. And then as the bad eye started to work, they gave them glasses. And in their glasses, check this out, y'all. These are just generic glasses for reading when you're getting old. But the one glass that was over the good eye was just pure glass. Had no prescription. And the other glass looked like the bottom of a Coke bottle. Yeah, it was kind of strange looking at my daughters with one great big eye and one little eye. What was the purpose? The doctor was trying to give her, both the girls, singleness of vision. What the Lord's talking about. A singleness of vision. Now, let's do an illustration because we learn from illustrations. Take your right hand for me, everybody, please. Hold it up in front of your face about this far. All right? Over your right eye. Now, focus on your right eye. Right hand. Focus on your right hand. Focus on it. Then look at me focusing. Don't look at me, but look at me focusing on your right hand. What can you see? See your right hand? Can you see me? How am I? I'm blurry. All right? Do the other eye. All right? Do the same thing, but this time focus on me, not on your hand. Is your hand clear? It's blurry. You don't have singleness of vision. You see, that's what the Lord's talking about when He goes further into Matthew chapter 6, verse 22. You can keep relation in Hebrews if you want and jump to Matthew chapter 6, verse 22. He says, "The light of the body is the eye, and if thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light." You get it now? When your eyes are focused on Jesus, you're full of light. If your eyes are focused on the world and focused on Christ, you have blurry vision. Amen? He goes on and he says, "But if thine eye be evil," what does it say? "Thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." You got it? You know that Satan is the master of distraction? Satan's the master of distraction. Do you know he uses anything and everything to distract us? He even uses good things to distract us. You know, the vast majority of us children of God, if Satan were to put something real evil in front of us, we'd deny it, would we not? We'd reject it. But what about if he used something good to distract us? What would happen then? Where would our love go? Would it be divided? You know, let me just give you a few illustrations of things that he uses. And listen well to me, because some of the things I'm going to say are going to probably offend you. We read an article today on being offended. If you're offended, does that make you right? Yeah, some of the older folks got that. I'm glad. That's good. I appreciate your laughter. That, because it's kind of funny, isn't it? Because if we're offended, we think we're always right, don't we? The other person's wrong. So, what is something that he'll use? And listen, the distractions, even the good things, they become to us? They become weights. And they make us ineffective. Listen, some of these weights are the cares of the world. What are the cares of the world? Well, think about this. I shared with you already how much I care about my family. I'm going to start with family, y'all. Family. Satan can use your family to become a weight. And you know how many times I have people in the church use their family as the excuse why they don't serve God? Now, mess with my kids, and I'm a little Italian. And you remember Rocky, don't you? Okay, I'm not Rocky, but you remember him. Listen, what is it? What about the family? Well, it could be activities. It could be sports. It could be the things after school. Listen, all those things can be wonderful things, can they not be? But if they become, put your hand up, if they become your focus is off the right thing. Now you say, "Brother John, it's your responsibility to be a father." Yes, my responsibility was not the church's responsibility to raise my kids in the Lord, nor was it the church's responsibility, nor the pastor's responsibility to lead my kids to the Lord. Make sense? Yes, I know what my responsibility is as a dad. And my wife knew what the responsibility was as a mom. And share this with y'all, we knew what our responsibility was to one another. And that's important. You know what all that is? That's wonderful biblical truths. And they work, y'all. They work. So, think about this. So, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says, and don't go there, I'll just read it for you. "Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Let me just share an experience with my wife and I's family after we got saved. When we got saved, we recognized that we were just apathetic Christians. When I first got saved, I was just on fire. And I got around a good Christian family, and I learned how to be a good Christian family, brother. You know how to miss Sunday night because it was family? Yeah, we had a family activity, so we could miss church on Sunday night. Church, listen to me. Yes, we could miss church on Sunday night because it was family activity. It was good. It was family, brother. God put the family together before He put the church together. Well, that's what I was being taught. we moved down south and God got a hold of our hearts and we started studying the Bible and we found out, you know, if I want to have a family, I better put them in church. Do I want to keep my family? I better put them in church. I want to keep my wife? I better have her in church. I better have her under the preaching of the Word of God and the teaching of the Word of God as often as I possibly could. And every time the doors were open, we were there. And we did not drag our kids to church. We loved church, so our children loved church. And we didn't toast our pastor at home. Y'all, listen, I'm not accusing anybody. You let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Our family, once I got right with God, we were in Georgia, we'd go home and visit the family. You know when they put the activities together? Now remember, Sharon's family was in a good Baptist church, y'all. They put that family activities together on Sunday night, brother, when there was church. When we were there a whole week, you know what I told them? We'll meet the family activity after church gets out. I wasn't very popular, y'all. I really wasn't. My mother-in-law, you know mother-in-law jokes, right? She used to love me. Yes. But you know what I found out? That I needed a singleness of vision. Why couldn't we all go to church together? Why couldn't we have a family activity in the church? And then afterwards have an afterglow? We do that at church all the time. So family can be a problem, y'all. Maybe you have lost family. We have a dear saint in our church. And with her family, she loves it. She loves the Lord. And she has three children. They started having activities on Sundays. And she told them, I can't go. And she said, Pastor, am I right? And I said, you're absolutely right. What's wrong with Saturday? What's wrong with another day? Well, they work. That's fine. You work too. Put it together. Church, listen, family. Church family. Brothers and sisters in Christ. Satan is the master at getting us off of our focus. Not only family, think about this now. How about your job? Anybody here can go down to the light company and pay with a smile? Anybody figured that out yet? Pay that light bill with a smile? How about the car payment? You can pay that with a smile? It don't work that way, so you got to work a job, don't you? And matter of fact, God gave Adam a job in the garden, and it was not a part of the curse. Before the curse. So it's good for men to work. Men, please work. It's good for men to work. So, how about our job? Overtime? Yes, I know you have bills, but don't let your overtime interfere with your forsaking of the services. How about activities at parties? I worked for UPS. I was in management. The boss told me, and remember, I'm just a young kid. I just got saved. And he said, you're in management. You got to be at the church, the UPS parties. And I said, what's going to be the activities? And he explained to him, and I said, I can't be there. He said, yes, you have to be there. It's mandatory. Now, what do? You can quit your job, right? But you know what else you can do? You can ask God to help you. And it doesn't always work, but God has a way of helping us. He knows our course. And so I asked him, I said, okay, I'm management. Can I just go in for a few minutes, greet everybody, then just get out? Because I don't want my wife in that mess. And he said, okay, if you'll just make, this my boss told me, if you'll just make an appearance, that'll be fine. And that's all I had to do, y'all. And he had to be a part of it. How about if you're in a business and you're starting to get up in management, and all of a sudden they ask you, dear sir, they start saying, your job is not to wine and dine the clientele. What do? Brother Allen tells us of a man, he's now in heaven, that was a member at Corinth Baptist Church, got an executive director of his company, what he always hoped for, big, huge raise. And they said, oh, but by the way, wherever these men want to go, you got to take them. You use your imagination. He said, I can't do that. He said, you have to. That's your job. He said, I can't do that. I'm a Christian. They said, you got to do it. He said, well, if I got to do it, then I could just give you 2 week notice. And he quit his job. You see, his focus was on his Lord, not on the money, not on the job. He kept his focus on the Lord. Listen, Satan is the master of distractions. What about debt, y'all? You think about what holds back most American Christians, and I believe the non-commitment of most of our young couples is because of the debt they're in, the financial debt they're in. You know, it's real easy to commit to a debt and sign your name for 30 years than it is to commit to a church. Ooh, man, I'm tough, brother. I'm not saying don't borrow money, y'all. But if it becomes between you and serving God because you got to pay that debt, you're focused. Put your hand in front of your eye. Just do it. Where's my focus? How's my course? Am I finishing my course? You're saved. You're on the course. Every morning you get up, you're Arnold Palmer. You're on the course. Except you're not going to get the $1 million prize. But let me share this with you. Your retirement's out of this world. Your payday is out of this world. There's nothing wrong with any of these things we've talked about. And oh, let me hit one more real quick. Young people, your entertainment. Moms and dad, your entertainment. I'm really going to hit you hard. Now, you name it, okay? Because I can't name it all. And I am thankful that I'm pretty much electronically ignorant. Maybe illiterate. I can send an email, y'all. But that has just never been my forte. But I always share with my children when they're trying to do something. I do intricate trim work. I said, you do my trim work and then I'll do your computer work, okay? Amen? How about your entertainment? I'm going to tell you, the vast majority of entertainment in America today is not godly. Do you know a Russian leader said when they couldn't defeat America because of her God brother? And I believe he was Stalin. Some of you historians might be able to help me a little better. My son showed me this and I was shocked. They recognized, the leaders of Russia, the communist leaders of Russia, recognized that God was so strong in America that they had no way of defeating him. But they said, you know what we can give him? Is entertainment. Give them entertainment, because then that'll become their God. And you know what happened? Entertainment is one of our gods, is it not? And it takes our focus off the Lord. Now, when things come in that way into our focus, and we wonder if we're becoming fruitless or not, Proverbs chapter 27, verse 8 says, "As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place." You know, we've wandered from our place, have we not? America needs help. Matthew chapter 13, verse 22 says, "He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." Listen, I believe when God's speaking to this man, he's saved. Because he becomes unfruitful. A lost person can't be fruitful. And it says it choked the word. That's what happened. Excuse me. It choked the word. Now, how do we run to finish our race? We need to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He has written it and he has completed it. When we take it, when we take that race and we run that race, decide what is God's purpose for your life. Decide what it is. Think about that. Is it to follow the world's ways or the Lord's ways? And you know, the ultimate thing is God's desire is for you and I to win others. Someone led you to Christ. You were saved because of someone that obeyed the Lord and shared the gospel. Can you remember who it was that led you to Christ? Can you remember? Remember back. Hopefully it's been a long time. If it's not, you remember. Was it a gospel track, as our dear brother said? And if you don't support this, dear brother, I'll put a word in for him, amen? But we carry his tracks. There they are. Carry them. These are just a few of them. This one right here, y'all. That one really kind of, when I first saw it, "You are beautiful." I thought, how in the world are you going to give that to a woman? They'll think you're coming on to them. But you know what I found out? Most women aren't told they're beautiful. And they receive that track with joy. And it is amazing. They start reading it. Someone has told them they're beautiful. In a day where we say that we care for women, our nation has really disgraced women, has it not? You know, only in a Christian nation are women honored the way God wants them to honor. And women were honored in America, and now they're belittled and put down. So we share those gospel tracks. You know why I share that track? Not because I want to tell her she's physically beautiful, but that track tells them they're beautiful to the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's so many gospel tracks that you can give. What's the purpose? The purpose of having that track out is to win somebody to Christ, to give them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to give them an opportunity to hear. And that's part of the course. Every day is sharing the gospel. Focus on His plan for you. What God has for you to do. Learn to recognize Satan's distraction and forsake them. This is the how-to, y'all. You know, a lot of people say, okay, Pastor, you preach, tell me how to. Put your focus on Christ, the author and finisher of your faith, the one that began the good work in you. Recognize Him, know Him, and then do His good will. And listen, every day be doing it. Now, let me try to wrap this up. And probably in Egypt, it's only 3 o'clock, amen? So we're okay. Let's ask these few questions, amen? Are you effectively finishing your course? And I want to talk about just your daily course first. Are you finishing your daily course every day? When you lay down your head at night, do you kind of go over the course and ask the Lord? Listen, it can be a horrible day. But you know, I found out that even in horrible days, God does miraculous things. Sometimes in the worst day that you've had, and you were able to go through it as a child of God, someone really saw Christ in you. Are you in the race? If you're born again, you are. But are you in it? Do you realize you have your own race to run? Questions for us, y'all. Are you ready to get into the race? You know, if you're going to run a race, and it's interesting, you know, when you go to, I went to a public school, and my dad wanted me to be in sports, and I was too little for basketball, and I wasn't good enough for baseball, and my brother was a track star, and he ran the cross country. And I did that for about 3 days. You know what I said? You're nuts. About 3 days. You know, because at the end of the first day, I almost lost my lunch. And I'm not doing that. But you know what? We're in a race. And God's put us in a race. And so, are you ready for the race? And you know, to get ready for the race, you gotta prepare, right? You gotta exercise. You've got to condition yourself. Read the Scriptures. Memorize the Scriptures. Meditate upon the Scriptures. Pray to your Lord. Ask Him to give you opportunities. I believe the church here used to call them divine appointments. Correct, church? You know what Brother Miles called them? A divine appointment. Pray for those divine appointments. Do you recognize you have weights? And are you willing to do something about that weight? We're not talking about the fat I've gained. Amen. We're talking about those distractions that Satan has allowed in your life. And listen, he does say the sin that doth so easily beset you. There are sins. But you notice that sin comes after weights. There are things that are good that we are allowing to distract us, to help us lose our focus or cause us to lose our focus. That's the weights. But then there are sins that are in our lives that need to be put aside. Are we ready for that? You know, an alcoholic will always be an alcoholic till he recognizes he's an alcoholic. And you know, even when he recognizes he's still an alcoholic, unless he's going to do something about it. And let me ask you, I'm going to use a different word, a drunkard. Because alcohol is psychology. Drunkard is the Word of God. Amen? We need to stop using psychological words. We need to use God's Word. A drunkard. Someone that abuses alcohol and abuses themselves. So once he recognizes he's a drunkard, he has to then desire to lay it aside before he'll ever get help, before he'll ever get normal. Same thing with us. You recognize your weight or weights, do something about it. Listen, it's your family. You don't give up your family. You don't allow your family to be the excuse to keep you from keeping your focus on the Lord. The matter of fact is, our goal should be that we help our family to focus on the Lord. That should be our desire. Amen? Then, those that are willing, are you staying focused on the course? Because I know that there's many in this church that are on fire for missions. 1994, y'all have been supporting us. We've never missed support. Listen, that's financial, but I've never missed your prayers. I've received cards from you. I've got calls from the staff. On the field, I've always been blessed by Crooked Creek Baptist Church, and so I know that you are on the course. Are you working toward the finish line? Or are you straying away a little bit? And then do you see the importance of the finish, do you see the importance of finishing your race well? Let me ask you this. Here's a test, and I'm going to ask Pastor to come. I'll pray, and then I'm going to ask Pastor to come. There's a test. Are you doing more this year than you did last year? And you put the more, you answer the more. Maybe it's more prayers, more Bible reading, more Bible study, more Bible memorization, more giving. That's the test to see where we're at on the course. Because I'm going to tell you this, the more I ran with my brother, the stronger I got. I didn't get weaker. I got stronger. I was able to do the course better. Now, there were injuries along the way, which were setbacks. There were distractions. There was like this girl named Sharon. Really distracted me. There are distractions along the way. Yeah, guys, you like that, didn't you? I got a smile out of them guys, finally. Girls are smiling too. Good. We're glad for that. But we ought to be doing more for the cause of Christ. You know, he endured the shame. He looked forward to the cross. Verse 2 tells us. He looked forward to the cross to pay our sin debt. What is that to ask of us to stay on the course, to finish the race, and to finish well? Let's pray, and then I ask Pastor to come and give the invitation. Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord. Lord, we know the hour is late, but Father, we trust and pray, Lord, that your Spirit and your words, Lord, is able to get through, Father, our fatigue or our desires, so that our desires will be turned to you. And Father, we're so thankful for a church having a missions conference, not just on Sunday, and young people being here and parents being here. And God, we pray, Lord, that you take your words and these thoughts, Lord, and use them, Father, to motivate us, to help us, Father, to do more for missions. And God, our prayer is, Father, that you'd use the three things that are needed in missions. And Lord, that's prayer is needed in missions. Father, the prayers of the saints move the arm of God that gets the work done. Father, we need men in missions. God, would you call young people? Would you work in their lives and help them, Lord, to surrender even now, Father, to the service, full-time ministry of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, others would surrender to be in the service of Sunday school, whatever the preacher needs to help this church go forward. And then, Father, missions needs money. And God, I pray that you would bless, Father. Thank you for supporting us and supplying for us, Lord. And Lord, I'm not praying as a missionary now. I'm praying as a child of God, how you have provided for me all these years. God, we thank you and we praise you. And we ask now, Lord, you do what you will do, and that your children be obedient in this invitation. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.